today on Annenberg Radio News.
We don't stand here as people of God with any hate in our hearts. We stand here as the people of God representing the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would do.
Religious leaders gather in South Los Angeles to oppose Proposition 8. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News. It's Tuesday, October 21st. I'm Brian Frank. Hundreds of people lined up inside the Hall of Administration in downtown Los Angeles today to make their voices heard before the County Board of Supervisors. Winston Chua reports.
CSD stands for the Ordinance Community Standards District. If county supervisors passed the motion, it would allow for oil drilling in Baldwin Hills. Ronald Woods, who lives near Baldwin Hills, isn't happy with the prospect of drilling where he lives.
I wouldn't feel very good about it because the idea of them putting, up to 1,000 more wells is not in a very confined area, does nothing for the environment.
Dozens of opponents of the ordinance wore green armbands to show solidarity and to promote the environment. If the ordinance passes, the Plains Exploration and Production Company, PXP, can begin drilling. Supporters of the drilling, including Pierre Tergiano, wore white stickers.
I think, they've done all their homework. See, that's one thing the company has done here is they've reached out to the community, they've done all their research and data, and now they're ready to go, and they have the support of the supervisor. So,
other supporters of the ordinance say drilling is important in reducing dependence on foreign oil. PXP spokesman Steve Rush refused to comment. Gary Gless represents homeowners near Baldwin Hills.
And it may be good, this set of policies somewhere else, and in the middle of an oil field, not where people live, but, we've got a million plus people sitting right around this thing, and we don't know.
Gless is calling for an independent investigation. He opposes the rush into drilling. He says that even basic testing of the land has not taken place. He says drilling could cause pollution. Another opponent, the National Resources Defense Council, said PXP has failed to comply with standards for toxic emissions and has not adequately involved members of the community. Supervisor Yvonne Burke is expected to vote for the ordinance. Winston Chua, Annenberg Radio News.
The Board of Supervisors approved a change today in the financial backing of the $3 billion Grand Avenue project in downtown L.A. The Korean investment firm Hanwha Group will provide $100 million for the first phase of the project, which envisions a complete revamping of downtown, centered on a 16-acre park. Construction was supposed to begin last fall. Developers will have to pay $250,000 a month if they haven't started by February. LA City Council members agreed on a resolution today against Proposition 11. The measure aims to take the power of redistricting out of the hands of state legislators and into the hands of a group of 14 citizens. The council feels the initiative won't protect the interests of minority voters as it doesn't guarantee diversity in the new districts. California voters will decide the proposition on the November 4th ballot. Hunger strikers are in the seventh day of a fast in support of immigration reform. Sonny Johnson reports on the Fast for Our Future.
At the La Placeta Overa Plaza in the historic heart of downtown Los Angeles, Mariachi Latino put on a performance for the protesters. They're serenading the immigrants of different ethnicities who are joining together for a peaceful, fast, and pledge protest. Sam Paul, member of the band, says the significance of the song is...
So it's really a song of unity among people of all races. And so that's why we sing this song as part of an action.
The goal of the campaign is to reach 1 million people who are willing to fast for at least one day and sign a symbolic pledge to vote and take action for problems faced by immigrants in the November election. Kai Newkirk is with Center for the Working Poor.
There's a crisis in this country, and that the enforcement of the unjust laws of a broken immigration system is tearing our country apart. Separating families is terrorizing our communities, creating so much fear, and it's violating the civil and constitutional rights that should define what this country is about. So we know that right now, in this moment before the election, is a critical time when the nation is listening and politicians care, and we have to send a message that we care about this and it has to stop.
Frank Crockett is on the seventh day of his hunger strike.
Voluntary suffering really, really connects people. It brings people back together to focus on the cause that they're working for.
Protesters say the hunger strike is in the names of those who cannot vote. They hope the strike will be the largest in the U.S. history. Sunny Johnston, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles City Councilman Tony Cardenas, an animal activist, today presented a plan to get rid of a new exhibit at the Los Angeles Zoo. Natasha Yashar explains.
Tony Cardenas was joined by Barb Barker, actor Isai Morales, and animal rights activist to present an alternative to the $40 million elephant exhibit under construction at the Los Angeles Zoo. He says the exhibit is too small to be humane.
This is about being humane. This is about doing what is right. According to zoo medical records, 13 elephants have died in the LA Zoo since 1975. More than half of those elephants did not reach the age of 20. And elephants in the wild are supposed to live as much as 60 or more years.
Cardenas is sponsoring a motion that would require the zoo to find a piece of land in Los Angeles County that could be used for an elephant sanctuary. Zoos in other major American cities have closed their elephant exhibits in the past few years. Natasha Shara, Annenberg Radio News.
Zoo officials are holding a news conference at this hour to respond to the proposal. The Tournament of Roses made its yearly announcement today. As Aaron Darling reports, an Arcadia High School senior was named as the reigning Rose Queen.
Every September, nearly 1,000 girls sign up for rounds of interviews and eliminations, all for the chance to reign over the Rose Parade as the Queen of the Tournament of Roses. But in the end, only one girl is crowned. This year, it's Courtney Lee.
When they called my name, I could not believe that they actually said it. In my head, I was like, no, that's not me, that's not my name.
Surrounded by members of her royal court, Lee said that being selected as the Rose Queen is fulfilling a childhood dream.
What my family does every year for the Rose Parade is we'd make our breakfast and we'd be in our pajamas and watch it on TV. And I'd always love watching when the princesses came on. I'd say, Mom, Dad, call me when the princesses come out.
Lee and her royal court of seven other young women will reign over the 120th annual Rose Parade this January. They will also be in attendance for the 95th Rose Bowl game in Pasadena. Aaron Darling, Annenberg Radio News.
The sun is not going away this week, so get ready for hot weather. For the rest of the week, we're going to see temperatures in the low 60s and high 50s at night. Expect high temperatures in the 90s tomorrow. Thursday is going to be the same, with temperatures rising to the high 80s and low 90s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the view from Ohio on the role of race in the presidential election. A group of senior citizens and homeless people gathered downtown this morning to protest the governor's cuts to housing assistance programs. Dan Bentz reports from the Ronald Reagan State Building.
Hey, Governor, don't be a creep. The homeless need a place to sleep.
That's the message seniors and homeless people have for Governor Schwarzenegger. Dozens gathered outside the district office this morning to protest the governor's recent cuts to housing assistance programs. They were led by Frank Tamborello, who directs Hunger Action Los Angeles. One of the programs cut, the Emergency Housing Assistance Program. Tamborello points out that this represents only $4 million out of a $143 billion budget, or 1/33,000th.
Can you imagine having a $33,000 budget and there was a dollar in there that meant life support for someone and you cut out that dollar out of $33,000? That's what it's like.
The protesters felt that the governor did not even consider them before the programs were cut. Greta King Smith was once homeless for 3 years.
They didn't allow us to have 1 second to say anything about it before they just sliced and diced it.
H.D. Palmer, a spokesman for the governor's financial office, said the cuts were to help build a surplus in preparation for another difficult wildfire season.
It is a veto, like many dozens of others that he had to make, that are very difficult in nature, but are necessary in order to be able to build up that budget reserve because we are looking down the barrels of another bad budget year and another bad fire year.
Those in attendance signed a letter to Governor Schwarzenegger urging him to restore these cuts. But this will only be possible if another economic stimulus package is passed. Dan Bentz, Annenberg Radio News.
The governor was in the Los Angeles area today to talk about California sunshine. Tim Wirth is at Cal State Dominguez Hills to explain.
I'm here at Cal State Dominguez Hills, where Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has just announced a partnership between SunEdison and Cal State schools. The governor spoke in front of solar panel canopies to fill a parking lot here on the campus. These solar panels produce about 8 megawatts of electricity a year and account for about 25% of Dominguez Hills' total energy costs.
And here we are on this campus, and as you can see, the solar panels here in the parking lot, which was phase one, which is doing a great job in creating a lot of great renewable energy. So it's great to see also this university and other places follow through in creating the action.
The new partnership between the state and SunEdison will bring 15 other Cal State campuses across the state similar solar panels. SunEdison will pay for the cost of these panels and then sell the energy back to the schools. The solar panels should be operational at Cal State schools by the end of 08 or early 09. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
California's Proposition 8 to amend the state constitution and ban gay marriage received a boost from pastors and political candidates today at a rally in South Los Angeles. ARN's Ed Cohen was there.
Yes on 8! Yes on 8! Yes on 8!
More than a dozen mostly African-American clergy declared their support for Proposition 8 at the event, which was held at the Crenshaw Christian Center. Frederick Casey Price, founder and pastor of the center, said the Bible clearly spells out the formula for marriage.
It states in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, that God defines marriage as that which occurs solely between a man, male, and a woman, female.
Beverly Crawford, founder, president, and senior pastor of Bible Enrichment Fellowship International Church, denies that hatred has anything to do with her opposition to gay marriage.
We don't stand here as people of God with any hate in our hearts. We stand here as the people of God representing the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would do.
The Reverend Jesse Lee Patterson, founder and president of the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, said that gay marriage is not a civil rights issue.
I grew up on a plantation in Alabama, and I remember my grandparents and their parents working the plantation, and we were discriminated against not because of same sex, but because of our color. I cannot change my color, but I know hundreds of men and women who have turned away from this idea of same sex and homosexuality.
Tonight in Beverly Hills, opponents of Proposition 8 will hold a fundraiser at the Green Acres Estate. Supermarket magnate Ron Burkle will host, and Melissa Etheridge and Mary J. Blige will be among the performers. Ed Cohen, Annenberg Radio News.
With a chance for this nation to have its first black president, many are paying close attention to the role race is playing in both campaigns. But political science professor Dr. William Angel at the University of Ohio in Lima says while it is a complicated issue, it may not be as important as people think.
Here we are sitting here 2 weeks before the candidate, before the election, and you got a major party candidate who is black who's leading the race. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, a year ago?
There was actually a poll done at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and in the poll they gave a line, African Americans often use race as an excuse to justify wrongdoing, and then asked, you know, whether you strongly agree or disagree. About a fifth of white voters said they strongly agreed, yet among those who agreed, 23% said they'd be supporting Obama. And so I think the point of this article in Politico was that race is not just a cut and dry issue, but it's very complicated in this case.
Yeah. I think it is very complicated. I mean, I think he's a complicated guy, and I think the complicated guy that Obama is makes it more difficult to see him just as a black politician.
So I wonder if electing Obama, is that going to mean, you know, is it going to be a giant leap forward like it's being made out to be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a man being judged on the content of his character, which is what Martin Luther King said that day in 1963. And like I say, you know, even if it doesn't turn out that way, even if Obama doesn't win, the fact of the matter is that he did win the nomination of his own party, fair and square, and he did you know, make a valiant race of this and come ever so close.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about race in the election in Ohio?
I think you look at Cuyahoga County, which is the Cleveland area, the eastern side of Cuyahoga County, the district there, Stephanie Tubbs Jones' old district, it's almost exclusively black, and there he got 70% of the vote. And on the west side, which is Dennis Kucinich's district, he got only 30% of the vote. So, I mean, there is that sort of racial divide, ethnic white versus black, that is still troublesome and has been, from his perspective, he hasn't been in here a lot. McCain's been here 17 times. I just think he needs to come here more if he hopes to carry the state.
And it sounds like this story is being played out that it's almost race versus the economy. That economy is the issue that can trump race for a lot of people.
For a lot of people. The issue of the economy is one that does help Obama sort of overcome the racial stereotypes or the racial pressures that might work against him. The Joe the Plumber incident that happened up in Toledo, that had kind of a racial element to it as well. This is a sort of an angry white man who didn't like the fact that his taxes were being raised, and so he became kind of a working class hero. And I think to some degree, Joe the Plumber could be sort of the way that McCain could use race as a way to appeal to disgruntled blue collar folk.
Now, just for the record, can you tell us which party affiliation that you have?
Me, I'm a Democrat.
And do you know which way you're going to be voting in this election?
I'm going to be voting for Obama. So, I'm not active in the Obama campaign or any of the campaigns, so that should probably go on the record, too. But.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. William Angel, professor of political science at Ohio State University at Lima. Thank you for talking to us today.
You're welcome.
An astronaut and U.S. Congresswoman made a visit to a South Los Angeles school this morning to introduce a new technology project. Erica Schultz has more.
35 science students gathered in the Dorsey High School cafeteria this morning to watch Congresswoman Watson, a Dorsey alum, unveil an ongoing project that will link Dorsey High with a school in Canada and one in Connecticut. The Net Generation of Youth Cyber Journalist Project will allow these students to interview astronauts, scientists, and engineers anywhere in the world and publish their stories online.
The future is for you, and success means that you capture it by understanding high technology.
Daniel Tanney, a NASA astronaut who has logged over 131 days in space, was honored by the Congresswoman and took part in the video dialogue presentation.
I've met a lot of smart people in my career, and it's always the case that the smart people are the ones, not with the great, with the good answers, but with the good questions. Nobody knows everything, and asking questions expands your knowledge.
Los Angeles Unified School District Board Member Marguerite Lamont was also in attendance and shared a story about how modern technology on an international level has affected her life.
You know, I told my grandsons, and I just got to share this. He was going to Sydney, Australia with the church this summer. I said, well, what's the climate in Sydney? We were in the car, and in about 30 seconds, he told me everything. I said, where'd you get that from? He said, oh, it's on my phone. I said, boy, if I had had that when I was in high school, I'd have been a 5+0 student. Do you hear me?
The video presentation between schools was actually delayed for a few minutes due to technical difficulties, but was eventually fixed. Erica Schultz, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Matt Mendez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Brian. How you doing? Coming up on Annenberg TV News, we talk to residents who could be affected by new oil drilling in the Baldwin Hills area. Also, controversy over a zoo elephant. City Council could move it to a sanctuary. We'll have that in a live report. Plus, our weekly edition of Meet with Pete. That's all coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Matt.
You bet.
That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brian Frank.